In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Jesus Christ enters Jerusalem as the King of Life. He has raised Lazarus from the dead. It is interesting that it is on Saturdays that we remember our beloved departed. It is the best time to have the panihida, the parastasis, when we say prayers for our departed. And it's because that's when Jesus Christ raised Lazarus from the dead. That's part of the reason. The other reason has to do with when Jesus Christ himself is in the tomb and death is being transformed into a passageway into life. But Jesus enters Jerusalem as the Lord, the King of Life. For Orthodox, and this is important because we are about to begin the Holy Week services, it's always assumed that Orthodox will be coming more than just on Palm Sunday and Easter. You have to know about and participate in the services to a greater degree than that in order to actually be participating and not just attending the way we would attend a play or something like that. For Orthodox, Holy Week is not a dramatic story. That's hard to avoid from our point of view today. I cannot imagine how many movies I've seen in my life, beginning when I was a child, when I was a very young child. It's peculiar. This phenomenon developed as soon as I began to read, that I read credits. I remember having a dream when there were credits at the end of the dream. I mean, movies are second nature to me. Movies are what life is about. My life is a movie in which I am a star, and you are the star of your movies. We all have movies that we're stars of, and we go to the movies and we find movies that we can feel like we can identify with the stars, and their story is our story. It hasn't always been this way, obviously. When did it start? Holy Week became a passion play in the West, beginning probably earlier than, but reached its peak in the 1300s. And by the following century, there had begun a split between the dramatic enaction of Holy Week, basically, on the one hand, and secular versions of the same thing. People liked it. People liked a dramatized Holy Week. And within another century, you had Shakespeare, a completely separate theatrical condition. When I first was taught this, I thought, gee, that's hard to believe. That Shakespeare, in 200 years, came out of the celebration of Holy Week. Because the West had Holy Week too, still does. And the celebration of Holy Week as a kind of dramatic passion play is still a Western thing. It's still a thing in the Roman Catholic Church. The Protestant reformers rebelled against it. They didn't like it. But we're doing something different, which is the point that I want to get to in the end. The reformers didn't like the dramatized Holy Week in the Roman Catholic Church, and they didn't particularly care for the theater either. So they didn't like either one. But it was a split from something other than a dramatization, something other than a drama. One point that you can make as far as Orthodoxy being different is the fact that this weekend, this Saturday and Sunday, does not fit into a dramatic development. You would expect, we've been through 40 days of Lent, we're about to start Holy Week, and all of a sudden we change the color of the vestments from dark to gold. We're going to change them back at the beginning of Holy Week, which will start this afternoon. But why is this interruption in the action? It stops the whole dramatic movement that we've been building up to. Well, that's because this isn't a play. This isn't a dramatic movement. That's what happened to the Holy Week in the West, but it didn't happen in the East. So what was the thing that made the change? Why did it change? It was a change in the hearts and the minds and the experience of the people. Before, as there is at least meant to be in Orthodoxy, and it takes a while for converts to move from one way of experiencing the liturgy and Holy Week to another, in the hearts and the minds of the people, where it had been a matter of participation, actual participation in what is going on, it became not so much a participation, but an attendance at a performance. A division developed between, on the one hand, the priest and the choir, and on the other hand, everybody else. Everybody else was not participating. And the priest and the choir were participating in something that was different. It's amazing. Father Schmemann, Father Alexander Schmemann's book For the Life of the World, I just got the notice, probably everybody did if you have the OCA.org as your homepage. His book For the Life of the World is now available as an audio book so that you can listen to it. And in that book, Father Schmemann points out there is a problem with the piety of the people in the church. Now, he wasn't talking about today's church in 2019. He was talking about the church in his time. The people that he was talking to were people who were Orthodox in America at the time, who were ethnic Orthodox, who had come to America, had reaffirmed Orthodoxy in America, but basically had a different sensitivity, a different piety about the life of the church than is original in Orthodoxy. But his book still applies to us today because we have our own piety. We don't have an Eastern European ethnic piety. We have an American piety. And we don't even realize it. This sort of thing is invisible to people. We are, under the skin, all humanists. Whether we are religious humanists or whether we are secular humanists, we are humanists. Now, of course, we don't have time to explain what that means, but basically, the quickest way to say it is that we have a combination of a Protestant and secular humanist piety. We understand the individual as the center, the absolute center of everything. We think that that's how God created human beings, as individual absolute centers, each with their own foundation in life, each with their own movie. That's the way we experience it today. I am the star of my own life. This is not an Orthodox Christian understanding of the nature of things. But if this is how we are, and we come to the Divine Liturgy, and we come to Holy Week, and we experience what's going on, it is virtually impossible for us to actually participate rather than participating simply as an observer of the drama. And we may be emotionally moved. Hard to read all of the readings of Holy Week and all of the things that are said and sung and not be emotionally moved. But we are emotionally moved as isolated individuals, each with our own moving. This is the outcome of the change in the West that we have inherited. We live in a society today where it has become normal to be in this kind of condition. Recently, I read a newspaper article. It was on the 12th of April. I think the fact that it came in April, it's when you celebrate Pascha. It's when you celebrate Easter. I don't think it was an accident. And the title of the article was, "The Funeral as We Know It is Becoming a Relic." A relic. Now, of course, in the back of my mind jumps up the fact that an Orthodox understanding of a funeral and what we're doing there is completely different from a Roman Catholic or a Protestant understanding of the funeral and what's going on there. Probably the quickest way into that is to quote Father Thomas Hopko. I remember him delivering a lecture where he talked about how shocked funeral director was the first time he heard Father Tom deliver a sermon at a funeral, because Father Tom did something that the funeral director had never heard before. He didn't say death was natural. He didn't talk about how wonderful the person had been, celebrate their life as an individual, you know, star of their movie. He said, death is the enemy. Death is the enemy. For some people, it makes it more difficult to deal with a funeral event when you start out by saying death is the enemy. Yes, but Orthodox understand the enemy death as having been overcome by Christ. And so it's completely different. But today, the nature of what you do when someone dies is different, according to this article. There are a celebration of life planners. Planners who plan a celebration of life. Not a funeral. You know, too dark. One of the people who died and had a funeral that was organized by such a person was the son of a person who is famous for having said, and the son followed in his father's footsteps, "None of us is going to get out of this alive." In other words, everybody's movie will come to an end. But hey, if your movie's going to come to an end, why not go out with a bang? Why not go out with a positive celebration? Why not go out with something that is either graceful or at least dramatic, you know, and positive and life-celebrating? So this is the new trend in America in funerals. Oftentimes the body is not even present at the event. It's curious to me that after spending an entire life living a life devoted to the body, that the body is irrelevant when you come to the end. Orthodox and Christians traditionally understand body and soul belong together. This is a tragedy that has been overcome by Christ to reunite body and soul. It's all about the resurrection. And so, yes, when we have a funeral, we have joy that has to do with the resurrection of Christ and the knowledge that this person too will arise. Back to the idea of Lazarus. Jesus Christ has power, authority over death, but he has not come just to raise individual dead people. He has come to destroy the power of death over the human race. He has dealt with the problem of death as the human enemy, and he has overcome that enemy. And it is for us to individually join in his life that is a life that has overcome death. So we become part of that. We don't separate ourselves and celebrate a life separate from his having overcome death. We don't say, life is terminal and I'm going to celebrate the end of my movie. That's a completely non-Christian understanding of things, of course. So this newest way of celebrating at the death of someone is really, in spite of the fact that it tries to present itself as being life positive, is really just a new way of denying death. Now, the one thing you're not supposed to do at a celebration of life funeral is to think in terms of denial of death. We are recognizing death as natural, as something that we can deal with, just like we deal with the end of a movie. Oh, I wish it had gone on forever. That was my favorite movie. And Charlie, what a great movie his life was. Let's celebrate it. Let's talk about the high points in their life. But it's still, in the end, it's a way of denying death. It's still an example of the fear of death. Why not celebrate your life and have a Lifetime Achievement Award? You know, they have in Hollywood Lifetime Achievement Awards for all of those great actors and actresses that had never got the gold guy, you know. The Oscar. Never got an Oscar. So at the end of your life, you have a Lifetime Achievement Award. Why not make your time of your death a Lifetime Achievement Award celebration? There are even celebrations where the person hasn't died yet. Why wait? You know, I remember the last time I saw some great actors and actresses, extremely old age, and people came together to celebrate their life. Why doesn't everybody get to do that? Why can't my movie have that kind of an end? Why can't I have a celebration of my life before I die? Because we're none of us going to get out of this alive, but that's no reason not to celebrate the life that I have had. Even though there's another saying that they like, life isn't fair. It isn't fair, get over it. That's the rest of it. Life isn't fair, get over it. A new way of denying death. Now, Divine Liturgy and Holy Week are not anything like either of those two things. Holy Week is not a passion play oriented toward the audience of our emotional experience to accentuate our individual separation from what is going on. It is exactly the opposite. That's where the change came. And if we're going to get back into it, then we get back into it by way of the Divine Liturgy. We've been practicing all year. We do the Divine Liturgy every week. We've been going through Great Lent, confronting the little deaths of each temptation and resurrection from those deaths, that they can't drag us down, they can't pull us into the sin, the separation of ourselves from the life of Christ, so that we go ahead and commit the sin. If we do, then we go and we confess the sin in order to get back into the continuation of our life in Christ. The sin is not the norm, not for Orthodox. The sin is not the norm. For Orthodox, the norm is death and resurrection. The confrontation of the sin, the overcoming of it in Christ that has already been accomplished, and the continuation. We have already begun to live that eternal life. For us, entrance into the divine liturgy means leaving self-celebration behind. We can't enter into the divine liturgy without leaving the celebration of ourselves behind. We may be bodily, physically here, but we are not participants in the traditional sense, participating in the life in Christ. We may be performers, and this happens to priests just as much as it does to servers and choir members. It's very difficult. It is a spiritual effort to do the divine liturgy and not focus on oneself, either as a performer, an inadequate performer, self-conscious, or an over-self-confident performer, doing things that actually cannot be done in the ways that we think they ought to be done. In order to enter into the Divine Liturgy in Holy Week, we have to refocus from ourselves toward a movement toward Christ, a movement out of ourselves and toward Christ. An example of this is when we say the creed together. We say, I believe. But we don't say I in order to affirm ourselves. I believe, you know. And everyone says, I together. I believe, you know. And we all celebrate our individuality and our separateness from one another and God. No. Yes, we are each individuals, and we have to reject our own self-love and performance and love of life as performance. Each one of us has to do that for ourselves. We are rejecting ourselves, dying to ourselves by referring to ourselves. As St. Paul says, I am the first of sinners. I am the first one who has missed the mark. I can only not miss the mark for myself. I can only deny myself for myself. I have to do it personally. And so each one of us says, I believe. I believe. Not with our mind, but that belief is a movement of ourselves from out of ourselves into the fulfillment of our humanity in Christ. It is a movement out of ourselves and into our eternal life in Christ. His life, his having overcome death and sin and all of those things that we are moving away from. The Divine Liturgy is always a movement out of the world, out of ourselves, and into Christ. To remember Christ together as his spiritual children, each one of us must forget ourselves individually. That's why the Creed begins the way it does. Without doing this, the liturgy, for us, our participation in it, stops. It doesn't continue. Just like the tradition of Holy Week in the West stopped when the focus became the individual emotional experience of a public event of what became entertainment. It was no longer possible to abandon the world by way of the liturgy and the Holy Week and enter into and participate in what was going on, because the focus was now inevitably on the person. And so something was lost, something that we have kept. Except that it depends on our piety, our reorientation away from ourselves, or on the other hand, do we use the Divine Liturgy and use the Holy Week in order to reaffirm a sense of ourselves, our own identity, in which case we separate ourselves from Christ's life. If during the 40 days the body helped us fast from vanity, pride, and self-love, then we are ready to confront life as it is. And that's how we see life during the readings of Holy Week. All of the terrible things that happened to Jesus Christ, all of the things that are done to him, all of the things as outrageous as they are. All of the readings are shot through as life is, and we experience life. They are shot through with the presence of death and sin and suffering. That is the nature of the world that Christ has overcome and arose in triumph of. And we as Christians, life for us is a life of overcoming death and resurrection, and living a life in spite of the presence of sin and suffering and death in the world. We are ready, having been through 40 days of Great Lent, and now calling these things to our minds before we enter Holy Week to confront our abandonment of Christ, along with that of Judas and the apostles who abandoned him. We abandon him. We should think of ourselves not in such a way as to affirm our separation from Christ, but recognizing that this abandonment and separation that is our sin, we confess and we reject and we repudiate. We are ready to confront the death of the life giver, Jesus Christ himself on the cross, even by confronting in our lives every challenge of sin as a confrontation of death. When we struggle with sin and prepare for communion, that's what we are doing. We are confronting each of those temptations and rejecting the fact that we fall in the wrong direction and reaffirming our movement toward Christ. Sins cannot keep us from him. Even death cannot keep us from him. We are those who die and arise again and again throughout the course of our lives because of Christ's having triumphed over death. For Orthodox, for Christians, who are true Christians, resurrection from death is the new normal. Resurrection from death is the new normal, not the chaos that we see outside. This has been true from the first century until and through the 21st century. It is as true today as it has ever been. For Orthodox, for Christians, resurrection from death is the new normal. And we experience life and Lent and Holy Week in order to confront the reality of all of those things that we are able to overcome, all of those things that Christ is overcoming. We already know. We're not watching a movie. Don't tell me the end. Keep it a secret. Keep the secret. No, I don't want to hear. I don't want to think about Pascha. I don't want to think about Paschal morning. We've been thinking about Paschal morning as Orthodox ever since the beginning of Great Lent. It's not a movie that we haven't seen that we don't know the end of. It's not a drama that we are going through that's being presented to us dramatically. It is our affirmation of the overcoming of sin and suffering and death in our lives, and an affirmation of the fact that resurrection from death is the new normal in our lives. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.